is entitled Bible Principle. Can they help us cope with today's problem? And our speaker is Brother Didier Wayero from our congregation. Brother Wayero, you have our attention.
What if I tell you that you can make someone fall in love with you in 90 minutes or less? Will you believe me? How about you can think and grow rich? How to stop worrying and start living? The art of happiness. How to win friends and influence people. Well, some of you may have read or heard about these popular books. So if you have not, these are prepackaged quick fix solutions. Tips offered by the how-to writers. So the appeal is that you can fix your problem yourself. You can self-direct your life. You can understand the secret of life, and you can have whatever you like: success, happiness, wealth. Yes, if you think positively, you can accomplish wonders. And if you believe it will happen, then it will happen. So really today, there is so much information out there on virtually anything you can imagine. And many people turn to self-improvement books to try to solve the problems. Interestingly, we see an increase in the sale for those books, generally after an economic crisis, when people are looking for advice on how to better manage their finances, or typically around January, as people make New Year's resolutions and want motivation to keep them. And we also have the internet and the spread of social media. Today, anyone with a good internet connection and a camera can become an influencer and offer all kind of advice to his or her followers. Now it's true that some of the book we just mentioned may contain good advice, but sometimes the opinions of the so-called experts are not based on carefully collected evidence and lack consistency. What they say many years ago is no more relevant today. Or sometimes they can offer helpful suggestion on a particular topic, while the advice on another topic may actually make things worse. So the big question is, whose advice can be trusted for coping with today's problems? So let's open our Bible to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. And as we read this verse, notice what the Bible says about receiving advice. Proverbs 19, 20. We're told, listen to counsel and accept discipline in order to become wise in your future. So as you can see in this verse, the Bible encourages us to listen to counsel, and this will be beneficial to us. We will become wise in our future. Now, of course, this verse is primarily directed to the younger ones because of the expression future. But really, we can all benefit from this advice, especially the wise counsel from God's word, the Bible. Why? Because no matter how old we are, Jehovah is our eternal Father and Creator. And as such, he understands life better and his problem than we do. In addition, God's word, the Bible, contains countless and timeless principles that are far superior to anything offered in the world. So in our discussion this morning, we'll focus on four common problems and see how Bible principles can help us deal with them, namely how to resolve conflicts, how to find happiness, how to deal with economic problems, and finally, how to allay anxiety. So let's begin with our first question: how Bible principles can help us resolve conflicts. Now, do you find it difficult to forgive and make peace with others, particularly when you feel that you have a valid cause for complaint? Well, that should not surprise us. 2 Timothy 3:3 says that in the last days, men or people will not be open to any agreements. And we see that prophecy being fulfilled right before our very eyes every day. You may remember the controversy over mask wearing and other sensible health-related measures at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And how about the failure of reaching peace agreement, leading to violent conflict in many places around the world? So because of all of this, many today suffered at the hands of thoughtless and self-centered people. And how do they usually react? Retaliate fight back, rebel, get healing. Others adopt the ethical maxim proposed by the well-known Chinese teacher and philosopher Confucius. What you do not want done to you, do not do to others. So this means that in human interaction, a person has done his moral duty by simply refraining from doing any harm to others. And if everyone behaves in such a way, this will have ripple effect through society. For example, in Jesus' well-known parable of the neighboring Samaritan, a priest and a Levite saw a Jew beaten and left half dead along the road and passing by. Now, because they did nothing to add to the misery of the wounded man, we might say in a sense that they applied the Confucian idea. But as such an approach, being successful in ending conflicts, Michael Schumann, the author of the book Confucius and the World He Created, says this, and I quote, "It is odd that Confucius thought that the family was the cornerstone of society, yet he divorced his wife and spent most of his life living with his disciples." And still, regarding the family dynamic, he continues, "For Confucius, the role of men and women should be highly separated. The outer realm of politics, business, and civic life was for men. The inner realm of caring for children and managing the home was for women," end quote. So in view of the division that exists in the world today, will you not agree with me that such attitude, retaliating when we have been wrong, or refraining from harming others a la Confucius, have not brought about peaceful relationships? So what Bible principle can help us resolve conflicts? Please turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. So here, Jesus, rather than simply instructing Christians not to do bad to others, offered this counsel. "All things, therefore, that you want men do to you, you also must do to them. This, in fact, is what the law and the prophets means." And this is the golden rule. How do we concretely apply it? Well, we should ask ourselves, if I was in the other person's situation, how would I want it to be treated? Or was the person who wronged me tired, ill, or under pressure? Yes, stepping in their shoes and seeing things from their perspectives may help us make allowances for their mistakes. And what else can we learn from this verse? Well, first, the parallel account in Luke chapter 6 says that applying the golden rule should not be limited to those related to us in the faith, but extended to all people in general, including our enemies. And also, if you go back to this verse, the law and the prophets here are in the reference to the law that Jehovah gave to the Israelites and the prophetic books of the Hebrew scriptures. They all made it clear that the Israelites were to be just, not to show partialities, and were to be good to the afflicted and the alien resident in the land. So we apply the golden rule by acting in harmony with the spirit behind the law, by treating others respectfully, fairly, honestly, showing genuine concern for their welfare. We must be proactive in assisting others rather than being detached. And that's what the neighboring Samaritan did. So if you can have our first picture, please. You see, he acted according to the golden rule by taking the initiative to offer help, even though it costs him money. So how about applying the golden rule in the family? Yes, we know that unlike Confucius, Jesus was not married, yet he treated women with honor and dignity in a society where they were looked down upon. Thank you for the picture, brothers. So this might not be easy. And if you think that there will never be a disagreement or a misunderstanding between you and your brother, it's just a matter of time. Just wait. But the Bible encourages us to pursue peace. And Jesus, at Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 25, describes steps we should take to settle dispute quickly. And can we have our second image, please? If you look at our second image, the brother needed to reach out more than once to be able to make peace. He tried the first time, it did not work, tried again and again, and finally was able to gain his brother. And this is something we should all imitate. And if we do, we'll enjoy happy relationships with others. Now, this brings us to our next question. How Bible principles can help us find happiness. The Bible at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, describes Jehovah as the happy God. And since we have been created in God's image, we are meant to be happy. But what does it mean, or what does it take to be happy? Well, happiness is an emotion and therefore difficult to measure. It's just like you cannot measure the amount of love that a man has for his wife or the amount of grief caused by the death of a loved one. Yet today, the popular view is that happiness depends on acquiring wealth, a successful career, status, prominence at all costs. And I'm sure that you can come up with stories of individuals, celebrities who grew up poor and were able to overcome all odds and become very wealthy, yet they couldn't find the happiness that they have been searching for. Some even went from riches to rags, losing everything overnight and ended up taking their own lives. So again, what does it take to be happy? Consider Adam and Eve. Would you say that they were happy from a world standpoint? Absolutely. They have had a beautiful house, the Garden of Eden prepared by Jehovah himself, lovely pet, the animals, meaningful works, take care of the Garden of Eden and extend its boundaries, nutritious food, perfect health. But what happens? Their happiness ended the moment they disobeyed Jehovah. So what do we need to be happy? We need Jehovah. We need to be guided by its principles found in this word, the Bible. And of course, money is important to have a decent life, but research have shown that once we are able to afford our basic need, something to eat, something to wear, a place to lie down, any extra dollar earned will not necessarily translate into happiness. And the Bible supports that. Please turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And here, a man asked Jesus to arbitrate in a matter of inheritance. But prior to that encounter, if you read the previous verses, Jesus was talking about important spiritual matters. And also, the law made it clear that the firstborn son was to receive two parts of the inheritance. So this man shouldn't have brought this matter to Jesus in the first place because it was already settled by the law. But in reply, Jesus used the illustration of the unreasonable rich man, and he gave this advice in verse 15. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. They will read, keep your eyes open and guard against every sort of greed, because even when a person has an abundance, his life does not result from the things he possesses. So the lesson here is a warning for all of us, for the rich, not to think that they will have security and happiness by amassing possessions, or for the poor, not to think that they'll be happy by having many possessions. Why? Because rich or poor, we are all imperfect and we face one eventuality, death. So really, there are more important things than material possessions that can make us happy. And one of them is generosity. Let's see again what Jesus said about it in Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Here we read, I have shown you in all things that by working hard in this way, you must assist those who are weak, and you must keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus when he himself said, there is more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. So according to Jesus, we will be truly happy if we focus on the needs of others. And this goes both ways. The giver and the receiver are happy. So closed hands never received. So we have to share with others. So how can we do that in a concrete way? Well, we can certainly give in a material way. For example, we can also give our time and energy. For example, in the family, if husband and wife are generous with the time, this will strengthen the marriage. And the same is true if they spend more time with the children, showing them affection and teaching them. All this can make the family happy. And how about the bereaved, the depressed, the elderly? So a phone call, a word of encouragement, a warm meal, helping running errands, and sometimes just our company can go a long way. And that's exactly what our next picture show. Can we have picture number 3, please? Yes. We see the young couple taking turn in assisting the elder brother. Right? So see, and even science recognizes that altruism has a positive effect on our well-being. And from personal experience, after a nice day or morning out in service, are we not happy though tired that we gave our time and energy to teach the Bible to others? Yes, there are many blessings to those who are generous. And Proverbs 11:25 tells us that the one that gives generously will prosper. And most importantly, Jehovah, the greatest giver, the happy God, is well pleased with such sacrifices. But thank you for the picture, brothers. But let's not forget that we are still living in a society where everything is based on the desire of the eyes. And many people will go into debt to keep up with the Joneses or, if possible, outdo them. And Christian family heads may also be worried about not being able to provide for the families. And this brings us to our next question, how to deal with economic problems. So let's again open our Bible to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And here, Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, who was living in Ephesus, a prosperous commercial center, and urged the Christian there in verses 9 and 10 to guard themselves against the love of money. And he said this in verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. So having food and clothing, we will be content with these things. So is this advice relevant today? Yes, because in the pursuit of money, many people cheat, lie, steal, and even commit murder, leading to emotional, physical, and spiritual pains. So this advice is also a warning for all of us not to allow such unscriptural practices to crowd out our service of Jehovah. And what can help us do that? If you go back to this verse, contentment. Contentment is the key. But what does it mean to be content? Being content means living within one's means and also keeping a simple eyes, meaning having a single goal and not being sidetracked or distracted from that goal. And what is our goal? Serving Jehovah faithfully without distraction. And sometimes contentment comes with sacrifices. Consider the example of one of our brothers in the Saudi edition of the May 2017 Watchtower, page 24. He relates, "My secular work of repairing computers was very interesting, but it involved working long hours. As a result, it left me almost no time for spiritual matters. I finally realized that in order to put kingdom interests first, I needed to change my line of work." And what did our brother do? After planning for about a year, he explained, "I decided to become a street vendor and sell ice cream. In the beginning, I struggled financially and got discouraged. When I met my former workmates, they would laugh at me and ask why I thought selling ice cream was better than working with computers in an air-conditioned environment. I prayed to Jehovah, asking him for help, to help me cope and to reach my goal of having more time for spiritual activities. Before long, things began to improve. I got better acquainted with my customers' tastes and became more skillful in making ice cream. Soon, I was selling all my ice cream every day. Actually, I was better off financially than when I worked with computers. And it has made me happier, and I do not have the stress and the worry that I had with my former job. And most important, I now feel closer to Jehovah." So the bottom line is to know where our priorities are and never allow the pursuit of money and a fear with our worship of God. You see, the brother planned it for a year. It was not easy. He prayed to Jehovah and for guidance, and his new job made him happier. And of course, we don't necessarily have to change our job. Well, perhaps we just have to limit the number of credit cards to be able to live within our means. See? And you will certainly agree with me that if you take two individuals with the same earning or salary, the one guided by Bible principle, as opposed to the one the one guided by Bible principle will fare financially better because it will avoid spiritually, physically, and financially damaging lifestyle, such as gambling, smoking, extramarital affairs, etc. So following the Bible principle regarding contentment can help us deal with financial problems. But there is another problem that can constitute a snare, anxiety. And it can affect all of us, whether we have been serving Jehovah for a long time or not. So what Bible principle can help us resolve or deal with anxiety or allay anxiety? Well, anxiety may come in many forms. Perhaps you are anxious about your past, the mistakes that you made or things you wish you have done differently. And sometimes you cannot hold back your tears because of these unpleasant memories. Or you are anxious about the present, perhaps a declining health or that of a family member that you are caring for. Or if you are parents, you are anxious about the future. With so much uncertainty in the world, do you often wonder what the future holds for your children? Well, it's normal to be anxious sometimes. In fact, if you're being around artists, comedians, and other performers, they'll tell you that they need the right amount of anxiety to be able to improve their creativity and performance. And for us brothers and sisters, and when we have an assignment, we have to be on the platform here, or when we are out knocking on strangers' doors, we need some anxieties. This reminds us of the importance of relying on Jehovah. But the danger, though, is when we become overly anxious, tormented, panicky about imaginary scenarios, about things that have not yet taken place and that will never occur. And this can rob us of our joy and discourage us. And let's be honest, sometimes we attend the meetings, we study the Bible in just an intellectual way, till we are confronted with a situation where we have only Jehovah to rely on. So am I letting God's word sink deeply into my heart? So let's see what the Bible says about anxiety. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, before we read this verse, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul who wrote them on the inspiration went through a lot. According to 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27, he suffered countless beatings by the Jews and Romans, was in prison, spent nights and day in open seas, experienced shipwreck 3 times, sleepless night, cold, anger, near-death situations. So if we have to make a list of Bible characters who knew what it is to be anxious, Apostle Paul will definitely make it to the short list. But yet, here's what he said. Do not be anxious over anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving, let your petition be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mental powers by means of Christ. So according to these verses, whenever we have something on our minds or deeply buried in our hearts that troubles us, what should we do? Pray and supplicate. And we should do so in everything. Family concern, health concern, financial concern, past mistakes, etc. And what be the result? If you go back to this verse, the peace of God, an inner calm that will guard our hearts and mental powers. And that peace is so powerful that it surpasses all understanding. It surpasses all anxieties, knowledge, reasoning. And it's like a guard that will prevent us from being swayed by worldly philosophies and thinking negative thoughts so that we won't act rashly to try to solve, use unscriptural means to try to solve the cause of our anxiety. Another thing we can do, if you go back to this verse, is thanksgiving. So this can give us a positive outlook. That can remind us of how Jehovah has been good to us in the past and say to ourselves, if Jehovah helped me then, it will help me now in my current situation. So this is well summarized in our next picture. Can we have our fourth picture, please, brothers? See, whenever we feel anxious, what should we do? Linger in prayer for help and wisdom so that we make decisions that aligns with Bible principles. And second, reflect on what Jehovah did for you, did for us in the past. And one concrete way, as we've been reminded recently, is to have a list of answered prayers. But not just a list, but also how Jehovah helped us. And because sometimes Jehovah answers our prayers in a way that is even difficult to explain to someone. And going over that list and the way Jehovah helped us can help us can give us a renewed strength to keep going. And when we find a Bible principle that applies to our situation, what should we do? Act or follow through on that guidance. So how else can we act in harmony with our prayers? For example, if we are unemployed, are we actively looking for job through government agencies? Or if we are healed, are we seeking medical attentions? That question is very important. If we are experiencing severe anxiety or mental illness, it may be necessary to seek the help of a medical professional. You see, it's a combination of personal effort and the reliance on Jehovah that can help us cope with anxiety. And finally, let's be honest, there are some adversities that cannot be removed immediately, and they will remain as long as this system goes on. And even in that case, God's peace can fill us with a well-founded hope that one day, in God's new words, all our troubles will never be remembered. So what have we learned this morning? Well, most people's life today is empty. It's like a hole that they are trying to fill with self-help books. And one commentator even said of a self-help book that it contains rock-solid advice that has helped many people to be successful in their business and their personal lives. Now, although they may have some merits, we learned that their advice could be misguided. So relying on them is like filling a hole with rocks as opposed to gems or diamonds found in God's word, the Bible. And they always work when applied. So Bible principles are far superior to any human advice. And this morning, we've discussed how to resolve conflicts by following the golden rule. We spent some time on how to find happiness by being generous. We've considered how to deal with financial problems by being content with what we have. And we concluded with how to allay anxiety by relying on Jehovah in prayer. These are just a few of the wide spectrum of principles contained in God's word, the Bible. And they always work when applied. There are many other principles when it comes to dressing, grooming, racial, marital problems, etc. So if you want to learn more, reach out to Jehovah's Witnesses. Ask for a Bible study. Jehovah's Witnesses will be happy to help you understand those principles and applying them in your life. Yes, following practical Bible principles is truly a course of wisdom now and will result in your own eternal blessing.